Hey everybody, how you guys doing? I'm Alex, and this is
Jesse, as you know.
And we are the TLT, the Linux Tube. Welcome to today's podcast. Today we're going to talk about some pretty cool stuff.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited for it too. I am excited. I always say kind of, but I don't know why. You know, I choose the minimal way of saying I'm excited. But either way, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be nice. I had a very interesting week. I will apologize right now for my voice and my possible cough or sniffles. I was sick all last week. Hey, Mislav, how you guys doing?
Yeah. Hey, good morning to our chat folks.
So anyhow, I must apologize. I'm still getting over whatever crud it is. It was around maybe COVID 2029 or whatever it is. I don't know what variant we're on.
Oh,
but
yeah, I think we've both been under the weather this week, but I think we're both on the correct side of it.
Right, the show must go on, right?
Oh, absolutely. You got waffles, you got Mislav.
Yep.
So what do you guys think of starting a little bit early like this, like an hour later?
Yeah, drop us a comment in the chat. Let us know what you think. We're trying to figure out a better time for both us and everybody else to be available. You know, try to get as much show participation as possible. So, but yeah, this week has been a little bit difficult because of trying to work. I worked throughout the whole time I was sick. You know, because we're short staffed and, you know, we've got so much demand at our job. But
there's only but so many of us.
Yeah. So, but anyhow, other than that, I wasn't able to do a whole lot in the Linux realm this week. But I did look at a few things that I want to look at. And one of the ones I want to talk about, we can just, you know, briefly hit upon later on is a distribution. Well, he says, what do you mean, Jesse? It's 5 p.m. where he's at.
Well, it's always 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's right. Oh, speaking of which, he died. Jimmy Buffett died. Your audio just went out.
Sorry, parrot heads everywhere are sad.
Yeah. He just went out, man. It was crazy. That's that kind of
Jimmy Buffett. For those of you guys who may not know.
He's just got to crank up the app for this one. But yeah, so that was one of the things. And one of the things I played with a little bit, I got to really enjoy, and I want to do a review of, believe it or not. And I'm almost scared to because he's my hero, so to speak. I love the guy. He's a good friend of mine. And that's DTOS's DTOS. You know, he finally made an ISO. What's up?
It looks like the filter's working.
The filter got
Waffles saying no words.
Uh-oh. Yeah, we got to watch we have a moderator now that's moderating the channel, and so they put in
everybody
a bunch
say
of
hi to the Stream Elements mod bot.
Yep, they put in words in there that are no words for some reason. Well, not some reason. They're for a good reason because our last. Right. Last week's podcast, we got demonetized.
Right. We're not sure what did it, but this time we're being careful.
Right. So I played with DTOS a little bit, and I really, really like what he's done to it. It's it's a solid, you know, it's based off Arch, and, you know, he's using the Qtile window manager, which Qtile's awesome. I like Qtile. It's my second favorite. And then he's added a lot of cool stuff, like his DM scripts are in there with the keystrokes, you know.
Oh, nice.
Or the key chords. He's added a lot of stuff in there. It's really, really nice. It's actually very nice. It's making me actually want to switch to it as a daily driver.
Ooh, save it for the review.
Yeah.
You guys came for the podcast, and you know, maybe as an upcoming feature, what if we did like a live distro test once in a while?
We could do, you know, that's the thing about the podcast.
Literally just, you know, grab a capture card.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's very flexible. It's very flexible. We can do, yeah, we can do any of that.
But it sounds good from what I've heard from you, and I'm looking forward to the review. Mm-hmm. I've got some reviews coming up that I'm excited to do. Could be doing 4M Linux while we're still on the Debian-based distro tour.
Mm-hmm. Nice. 4M Linux is a good one. That's a very good one.
That was your recommendation.
Mm-hmm. I know they just had a recent release, and I really enjoyed it. And Mislav said, good idea. And I recently enjoyed it. And, you know, I enjoyed my 4M Linux time when I did the review of it. And they've got they've got a good distribution. It's worthwhile looking at.
Yep. I'm thinking about doing a review of Pika OS. If you guys out there are any type of gamers or content creators, I'm sure you've come across Nobara. We have reviews here on the channel for Nobara, and Pika basically takes the Nobara idea and rebases it to Debian.
Nice. Oh, speaking of Nobara, I don't have a problem plugging other content creators' channels at all, especially if they're friends of the channel. And one of them is, what's up, Renton? And why is Renton's message deleted?
Oof.
Yo, is this live? Yes, Benton, it is live. Waffles, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. And Waffles,
Benton, how you doing? This is live. Yep.
Yep. Yep, it is. So, anyhow, friend of the channel, Brody Robertson, you know, does Tech Over Tea, right? And he just released a video with none other than GE, Glorious Egg Roll.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He just did
Glorious Egg Roll has done so much for the Linux gaming community and content creation community, period.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, he's going in depth onto what he did and. What's Bazitek? Bazitek? Huh. Never heard of that.
They're talking about Battle Deck, I think, maybe.
Oh, Battle Deck. Okay. He's gone in depth with him over how, you know, his version of the Proton developed and everything else. So
yeah. Now, refresh my memory, and I can't believe I'm blanking on this. GE's a Fedora dev by day, right?
Yep. He works for Fedora. Absolutely. He did it as a little side project. Basically, you know, from what I know of, you know, conversations that I've had with him myself, he pretty much took like the Wine Proton that was upstream from Steam that they were using, and kind of stripped out all the application parts to make it into the Proton compatibility that it is now using some of the Wine stuff. Mizo says Fedora based Steam Deck distro. Yes. Yes. But anyhow, that's what Bazite Deck is. I will Google it, and I will look into it.
Okay.
For sure.
Super cool.
But anyhow, he streamlined basically a experimental Proton Proton layer compatibility that Steam was already working on. Somehow he got his hands into it. I don't know if he's with developers or whatever, but he got his hands onto it, and he just stripped out all the stuff and added the stuff that he'd been working on into it and made it what it is today. So that's awesome. Kind of how that started. Yeah. And he talks about that a little bit in the video from what I understand. So I'm kind of hoping to get a chance to look at it here a little bit later after the podcast. Also, you know,
and God does block caps. That is correct. We're having to filter out some potential sources of spam. So sorry about that.
I guess it does block out caps because that's exactly must have been what it was. Interesting. Well, either way, we needed it, you know, because of we had somebody in the last podcast do some stuff that got us demonetized. So either way, we'll you know, we're sorry, but it has to be. Today's first subject, let's go ahead and talk about today's first subject.
Switch sources real quick.
I am going to blast on something that I use every day. And it's,
please do.
And it's only one part that bothers me about it. And that is going to be Discord, the actual Discord app for both desktop and phone. And the reason why...
Starting out with the pain points.
Yes, the reason why I'm showing right now them the Google Play one, because on my phone, it's got a 4.3 rating, which is pretty good as far as like Google Play Store is concerned. It's got a 4.3 rating. But the thing with it that bothers me, and it's one little thing, I call it ticky-tacky, but you don't experience it with WhatsApp. You don't experience it with Messenger. Snapchat, anything like that. So it has a video component, right? Which is
right.
Where you can do voice call, and you can do video text and video call, or you know what I'm saying? And
that's what we're doing. That's how we do
our thing, right? Because it uses Jitsi on the back end, right? For the video, right? So in those components, there is one big flaw that this app has completely overlooked. And you get pop-up notifications that pop up, right? Whenever somebody posts a message, or you get like the Alex sent you a message on the messenger, right? You know, you get notifications, right? But you also get like a noise, like a ding or something like that, right?
Right.
Well, you don't get any audible notification at all. So if your phone's in your pocket, if somebody's calling you on Discord voice, or, you know, any, or you know, whether it's a video or a thing, you don't get a ring. You don't get anything like that.
Yeah, it's really weird, and I hear an outgoing ring if I start a call from my phone.
You hear an outgoing ring when you start, but you don't get an incoming ring. What is up with that?
I wonder if we have it misconfigured, but the fact that we're both getting it.
I've looked at the settings.
What's up with that?
The settings, and I, you know, I turned on the one setting. There is a setting you could turn on to hear a ring on the desktop client, and it worked one time, and then it went away.
You using the flat pack or the native package?
No, I'm using the native package.
Blows
my mind. I know. It's
bug report.
I did bug report it. You know, I did do all that stuff. I really don't know what the heck is going on. I really don't. I don't know. You know why it doesn't work. I've tried fixing it. I've Googled it. I've talked to people. I've turned on the one measly setting that you can put on there, and it just still reverts.
Yeah, if you've run into this and you've fixed it, how did you fix it? Or if you're experiencing it now, you know, try calling somebody and have them call you back. See if you get a ring. Tell us what you're dealing with in Discord land.
I get when you have like a voice channel in your Discord, and you go into it, you know, you're not going to, you know, you're just going to pop in. Yeah, you're just going to
But even then, there's an audible notification that somebody has jumped in.
Right. But I'm saying,
if you're already in the voice channel and somebody jumps in, you even hear that. So why are we not getting call notifications like that?
Exactly. Especially when you're doing an intentional call, a video call, because I do a lot of video calls through Discord. You know, from talking to Steve over at Zero Linux, you know, Hisham and Elia Linux, you know, even Raymer's from Makulu Linux, you know, tons of people, you know, everybody.
We do all our channel meetings on Discord. It's really useful. And, you know, don't think we're just bashing
Discord
as a whole. It's great.
I'll be honest with you. Since I created the Discord channel, or the Discord server, right? Since I created the Discord server, and I've actually went from being on Facebook, because I've been in several different Facebook channels, also the Linux Tube Facebook page. I went from being on Facebook to there.
Yeah, mainly. Discord is what I use as like my social media now.
Yeah, I use it all the time. I'm on it every day, you know, yeah. And I'm talking to people on it every day, more than I do on any Facebook group or Facebook Messenger. And so, I mean, it's really weird how that's the one aspect that I have a problem with. And it's the one that's the most important to me. That's what made it annoying to me, is because,
right,
you know, I
right.
get so many, you know, video calls and tech and voice calls, you know, because I'm always accessible there to people. Benton says he had to give up Discord. It's not good for him personally. Ah.
Was it a little bit addictive? It can be hard to break away from Discord. I can understand if that was something you had to do. It's very easy to just stay in Discord all day.
Well, yes, especially if it's on something and like, you're passionate about. Yeah, but
right, like this.
That could be the same with any social media outlet. Like, you've got people that were really addicted to X or Twitter, whatever it is. It's probably going to be Twitter to me, but X or whatever, you know. And then Facebook, right, you know. Right. I mean, I see people right now, man, that are addicted to TikTok. You know, they're just scrolling through those little shorts like crazy. So I can understand that aspect of if
that's right. Good, if you like shorts, go watch our shorts.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch our shorts. It's still, you know, when they first came out with shorts, I was like, why would somebody put a picture of shorts up there? That's how old school I am.
Do you remember, completely unrelated to anything, do you remember Nickelodeon had a show called Salute Your Shorts?
No.
You might be a little older than I. Yeah, you're a couple years older than me.
Yeah.
But it was a show about a fictional summer camp.
Okay.
And they called the show Salute Your Shorts.
Salute Your Shorts because of a summer camp. Okay. And all right.
Yeah, I think they used like somebody's boxers as the camp flag or something. I always forget now, you know, what exactly led to that title.
You know, that would sound appropriate for sure.
Yeah, but yeah, Discord is great, except annoying little things like that.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Or
and if you guys are not a member of the Discord, then yeah, please join. It's a great place.
Yeah, it's a fun time.
I actually have a lot of people compliment our Discord because our Discord is very chill, so
it's,
to speak.
It's well behaved. Yes, especially for a Linux Discord. It's very well behaved.
Yes.
Want to shout out a thank you to Joris and the rest of everybody who's doing any kind of mod work over on the
Yep. Izzy. All my admins do a great job.
Yeah.
And moderators. They all do a great job of monitoring the behavior in there and taking care of issues and addressing them right away. And and you know, honestly, this is a love fest for Joris, but Joris is an admin in pretty much so every Linux content creator's Discord right now that is using Discord right now for the most part.
That that's awesome.
Like he does mine, he does Matt's, he does Steve's Discord, and I want to say another person, but I can't remember exactly who it is, but either way, he's
was it DT?
No, DT doesn't have Discord. He's on Mastodon. But anyhow, he does a lot of administration in the Discords, and so he's yep. he's a busy guy, and I can't thank him enough. He is my right hand man on our Discord. He's
thank you. We love you.
Yep. Good job, Joris. Anyhow,
no Discord in the Discord.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a wrap on the Discord part. Now, so let's go to your topic. Which one did you want to do first?
So Ham is right on time for the Love Fest.
What's up, my guy? That's one of my admins right there.
yep. All right. So I was, you know, browsing the internet with my morning drink, as you do, earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across an article on G-Hacks that poised Huawei Harmony OS, Huawei, the phone and tablet and smartwatch and other device manufacturer. If you remember, there was a while where they got in some hot water here over in the US for the way they were doing production and some other things. Do you remember that,
yeah,
Alex?
Yeah. Just briefly.
And for a while, I think their devices were banned over here.
I think they still are. I don't really find them anywhere.
If anybody wants to fact check that, because they did brands under Huawei, and also the Honor brand was manufactured by Huawei as well. Mm-hmm. But they now have laptops that run Windows. They have tablets. They have smartwatches.
Yeah, they have. I know they have a full ecosystem of devices.
Yeah, and from the looks of the article I was reading on GHacks, it looks like they are aiming to try and get into the OS market with Harmony OS, which already runs on some of their devices. And
Benton says U.S. government won't use them. Well, yes, and
I can imagine so, right, with them being made in China.
Yeah. They still are.
Are they still banned over here?
Nightmare to root and also install custom ROMs. They disable OEM unlock. Yeah,
that's true. Like, no, if I'm doing a Xiaomi custom Chads, ROM phone,
yeah, you can't stop winning. Yeah.
Oh
you
boy.
Can't stop winning.
I'm a OnePlus guy.
OnePlus. Yeah. OnePlus is nice. I mean, when it comes to the only thing I didn't like about the OnePlus is the pop-up camera that they had.
I remember,
I don't know if it was their 3 or 2 version.
I'm not into pop-up cameras really at all. Because eventually that motor is going to wear out.
Yeah, it was kind of weird, but either way, but Huawei.
Anyway,
I haven't really used any of their products. So I don't know, but I do know that of all the Chinese, you know, device manufacturers out there, they're doing modern day cellular phones and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They have a full on ecosystem, and it is, you know, across all the boards, you know.
Right. And they're even branching out into IoT.
IoT things. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, OnePlus is good. Waffle says. Yeah. But it's interesting that they're actually getting into the actual OS market, which is going to be, as big as they are, it's going to be worked on and developed well, I would think.
I would hope so.
Of course, it's going to suffer to being that they're Chinese based to the whole, you know, backdoor government, you know,
right,
overreaching, you know, issues that are there with Deepin Linux. So, you know, the Chinese version,
right,
not the Deepin desktop, but the actual Deepin Linux that's out there. Because I don't think the Deepin desktop has those exploits. But that's arguable because that's a heated debate in the Linux community too.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that you bring up Deepin, because Huawei originally was using Deepin on some of their devices, if I remember correctly, laptops and stuff for a while, until the development of Harmony OS.
Yeah.
Ham is making lunch for the kiddos.
Kids. Yeah.
All right. Ham, thanks for stopping by.
Yep. Much love, my brother, too, to you too, man. I think it's going to be developed well. From the looks of it, you know, it's going to be across all their devices and available to be integrated with. Like, I'm sure they're going to use something like the KDE Connect, you know, but just a ported.
That would make sense.
Them, you know,
but they're doing a lot of. A lot of design cues are getting borrowed from the iOS design, I think.
Benton just said something very, very interesting. You want to go ahead and take that one?
Benton says the time has come to end all U.S. technology exports to both Huawei and SMIC to make clear that any firm that flouts U.S. law and undermines our national security will be cut off from our technology. Wow.
Yeah.
Banhammer.
Yes, ban hammer with the,
and
with Thor's Benton hammer
credits. U.S. Representative
Mike Gallagher
on the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on China. Yep. Okay. So that is still in place at the time of this video, then, is what you're saying?
Yeah. And no, he's absolutely correct. What's been, you know, China historically, and it doesn't matter what it is, like whether it's microphones, whether it is software, whether it is, you know, devices, they have a huge, because they have no copyright laws over there. In fact, most people don't know this about me, but I actually, if you look up,
okay,
if you look up what you call it, Rage Lighting and Effects on Facebook, that is a company that I started. And what it is it's a LED microphone light stand that, that me and a partner made that has different effects that you could do through LED light strips and stuff in there, like, you know, glowing. We could even make fire flaming effects and that kind of stuff on them.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. With you being a performer, that's a cool, cool thing you made.
Yeah, we did all of that. And, we invented that and we didn't quite get the patent on it right away. Right. And before long, all of a sudden they were popping up all over the actual music, you know, supply stores and vendor stores, you know, by companies. And a lot of these companies were Chinese companies. And what it is that they will go out Chinese because they have no copyright infringement laws over there whatsoever. They will go out and they will reverse engineer stuff and manufacture it over there. Then they'll sell it to other products, other people. Or like we were looking for mass production because we were getting quantity. Well, we were building them ourselves by hand. And a lot of people would go and they would order it, right? And then I think one of those companies ordered our products and reverse engineered it and then mass marketed it. And then also they will offer.
Tough.
Yeah, then they'll also call other companies that are manufacturing stuff like that are like us, you know, like a new company, you know, that's up and coming, a venturing company, right? They'll call you and they'll offer to produce, mass produce these things for you. All you got to do is send them your stuff, but they will not honor a non-compete clause. Cause I tried to get them to do that, to do a non-compete clause or to actual, you know, to be behind a wall for sharing the blueprints only. And, you know, and not actually, reproduce them in any manner inconsistent with what we said. You know, because what they'll do is they'll just reproduce.
So this is something that happened to you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so that's why I agree with what Benton said that Representative Gallagher has proposed, because they've taken a lot of American ingenuity. You see, China gets credited with a lot of these devices and all this great stuff, you know, that they're doing, you know, and leading all the world and all these technologies, you know, but actually they take our ingenuity and then they kind of snipe it right out from under us and flood the market with 12, 13, 14 different brands.
Yeah, that's not something that I have enough experience to comment on, but that sounds tough.
Yeah, so I mean, I definitely support that, you know, and so... So
you know, that would explain I am having a heck of a time trying to track down like an ISO or an image for the Harmony OS.
Mm-hmm.
There's also an open sourced version called Open Harmony OS.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing some digging, you know, in preparation for our episode.
Right.
And it's really, really difficult and hard to get a hold of. And it seems like as of right now, you actually have to run it in a container that they have.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what the name of the container program that they have.
It wouldn't surprise me if they're going to exercise every amount of control that they have over that, because, like I said, you know, they have no copyright laws over there. So
right.
other
it feels very, it's very locked down and not, it doesn't feel like open source stuff that I'm used to at all.
Right, because open source is not, doesn't have that proprietary feel, which is what they're going to do over there to protect themselves from having their own stuff sniped out from under them by other competitors over there, you know, that might, you know, want to do. I mean, I think the only largest, other largest in the Asiatic theater of, you know, manufacturing out there that might actually be of direct competition on their level would probably be Samsung. And of course, Samsung's got their Samsung One UI, you know, that they use on all the tablets and everything else, but they haven't ventured into laptops yet or anything like that. And if, well, no, actually they do have laptops. they're not very popular, but they do have laptops. But they haven't
Samsung has Chromebooks and some other stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, they have that, but they haven't ventured into an actual operating system for them like that. They're still using like Chrome or whatever for Chromebooks. You know, so I'm thinking that they're trying to protect themselves from that. Samsung sucks. As I hold my container, Samsung Note.
The container that I was mentioning, you have to use a program called Dev Eco Studio. I pulled it up over here. Mm-hmm. And Dev Eco Studio runs on Windows 10 and Mac OS 10.14 or more. And it looks like they want you to have minimum of 8 gigs of RAM and 100 gigs of storage. And I guess it's kind of like Android Studio or something like that, but for running Harmony OS.
Harmony OS. So it's like a development.
If you were going to.
So it's like a development sandbox that's made to run just that all of its own.
Right. But yeah, so the article at GHacks would suggest that they're trying to come for the Microsoft audience. I don't know. You know, if you can't get the devices over here.
Well, yeah, but then again, you know,
I mean, if we're talking about outside the US, sure.
Well, yeah, exactly. I was getting ready to say, I mean, on a macro scale, when you look at it in a business mentality, right? Which in the end, that's what they're doing. They're going anybody who's getting any kind of business is going to look at things through business lines, right?
It's bottom line.
So you have however many million potential users here in America, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is literally 1/16 of the population of the world, especially when you compare them to India and China. You know what I'm saying?
Right. They're much more densely populated. Yeah, they're much more densely
out there than ours. Right. So if they're banned from here, they're not going to focus here. We're just seeing the news because it's out there and it's coming from different, you know, and in today's, you know, technology era that we're at, you know, everybody's so interconnected that realistically it's easy to get your hands on this kind of information and miss it.
You know, sure. And now the article felt a little bit hyped up to me, if I'm being honest. It was cool to read.
You think it was a gen article? A genned up article?
Well, here's what I'm thinking though. With the US having the purchasing power that we do.
Sure.
I don't think they're really going to make a dent in Microsoft's market share without being huge over here in the US.
Well, historically, I mean, you know what? Okay, look, let's just be honest here. A longtime Linux user here and one that's budding along too. The biggest problem that Linux has in bridging the gap to take over or to try to get, I mean, we're getting some of the market share for Windows right now only because.
Yeah, and we have the Steam Deck to think of.
Only because of gaming, exactly. We're gaining market share, but the problem why it hasn't gained more than that is because of the incompatibility with apps that has happened along the way. And a lot of people are so staunch on using some of the Linux programs and software that are out there that there's not a lot of compatibility with Linux, that the alternatives feel empty to them. Even though the
alternatives... You mean like OpenOffice and stuff like that?
Yeah, exactly. You know, a lot of the alternatives are not complete or feature rich to them enough to draw them. You know, it's a bit of a combination between the learning curve of having to learn a new software to meet the needs of what you need.
Right.
And also that it just doesn't look and feel like it. I mean, it seems like it, but it doesn't always look and feel like it.
Okay. So, no, I can get that.
And then another thing that people tell them is, well, you know, if you really want that, this is absolutely this software for Microsoft is actually supported by Wine. So go use Wine. You could use Wine. And then they get lost in that whole, you know,
oh boy,
Wine, you know, Wine configuration nightmare and stuff.
But, I want to touch on a couple things and then move along to your next topic here.
Sure.
So we're getting to the point now where web-based apps are making that a much less problem, much less of a problem. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Like the Google App Suite, like Google Docs, Google Sheets, things like that. You know, if you can pull it up in a browser and run it that way, You know, yeah. You can do that with 0365. So, I mean, we're really getting to the point now where, you know, if we're going to use Office apps as the example, the need for a desktop-based app is really shrinking. And I think Microsoft is going to accidentally push a lot of people over to Linux, because if you read some of the articles out there, it seems that the climate for Microsoft is moving towards Windows as a subscription service. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people are going to be into that. The idea of, you know, paying for a subscription to your OS is going to drive a lot of people over here, and they're already testing it out in enterprise.
Right. And that's not, and that is altogether not, I think there's validity in what you're saying. Absolutely.
Yeah. But they're going to wind up pushing people towards alternatives, not right. gaining customers.
But I'm afraid that it's going to be more, and I mean, I'm all for rescuing anybody from Windows, but I think it's going to be more towards Apple. I think it's going to be more towards Apple. You know what I mean? Because Apple is a more non-fragmented and more complete, you know, system. And they don't require the whole TPM stuff. They don't require any of that stuff. Although they only work on certain chips, you know, and certain chipsets, you know, so they're very proprietary too.
But what do you think, since they moved to Apple Silicon, mm-hmm. graphics don't seem to be the priority with Apple that they used to be.
Right.
And like the pros aren't even using, you know, dedicated GPUs anymore. It's your Apple Silicon for the graphics too. Mm-hmm. I think that was a huge oversight.
Ms. Lobson, like, Apple's better. It's even worse than MS. I know that, but...
Well, it really depends, and I think that, you know, the power user is not going to go to Apple for as long anymore. You know, mm-hmm. I think if the Linux world were a little bit less fragmented, we'd have a lot more market share.
Right, and I think to finish what I was saying about them going to Apple, yeah. and the only reason why is because Apple has been marketed so much.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody just automatically assumes that there's only Microsoft and Apple, Windows and Apple.
Yeah.
You know, Mac,
I'm really excited. You know, we do have vendor support for Linux devices now. You know, yeah. Dell's been offering them for a while. Mm-hmm. We've got System 76, who I absolutely love what they do.
Yeah, and then you also got Tuxedo laptops from Germany.
Yep.
You know, then you've got actual Frameworks laptops, you know, that are supporting, you know, Windows and Linux actually. And that's actually interestingly enough, that was something that actually Linus had pushed for.
Yeah.
Which is
kind
of cool.
I think that article the article from GHacks. Let me mm-hmm. say more specifically, I think they missed all of what we just covered in a few minutes and coming out swinging saying, Microsoft, you've got a competitor.
Right. Well, and they've actually had a competitor all the while.
Right. Linux has been a back end to Microsoft servers for a while. Mm-hmm. So I think that article, while interesting to read and cool to know about, I think it was a little bit overhyped.
And it might, you know.
I don't think Harmony OS is a Microsoft killer by any stretch.
Well, it can't be. I mean,
it's no.
Microsoft, in the reality, even when they do, and as you talked about them going subscription based,
mm-hmm.
in the end, there are staunch Windows users that are going to pay for it. They're just going to do it, you know, just like there are people like myself. I vowed after the last nightmare I had with Windows. It was funny. I was running a business and I was using Windows and it cost me money. And, when I did take over tea with Brody, you know, it cost me and it aggravated me so much that I vowed I would never go back. I suffered through the early days of Linux. Running a company on it, a business on it.
Yep.
That was, it was a nightmare, but it was still better than having to deal with that damn Microsoft devil. I am not going to lie. And, oh, and man. I never looked back, man. And now though, with the state of Linux that it is, and I did the video of is Linux made too easy, you know, and
yeah,
and I brought up some valid points, but even to this day, with the state of Linux the way it is, as easy as it is to install and run, and there's such great distributions out there that are meant for business and enterprise, man, that I think that it is still way better to run those than Microsoft. It's just a matter of getting people to get past the learning curve. That's it. It's simply okay. That.
Yeah, good way to wrap that up. I've got some thoughts for an upcoming episode and maybe a video that sort of touches on a fringe related topic, but I'll save that.
Awesome.
So I know that you're excited to talk about Thunar. Let's talk about Thunar.
I am. So Thunar over at FOSS, I've been doing this, and I thought, you know what, man, why not talk about it, because I actually use Thunar. I love Thunar file, you know, the file manager, man. And honestly, God, you know, it doesn't get the love that it should. And when FOSS put out this article, 7 tips and tweaks to get more out of your Thunar file manager, man, I thought spot on, because it's stuff that I do. Like, one, I use the shortcuts all the time, man. You know, like hiding hidden files and unhiding hidden files to declutter my pain when I'm looking at it, man. Also, you know, there's a setting in it that you can open to where you left off at, which is simply, you know, going into your settings and ticking on the restore tabs, you know, on startup option in the settings, right? I mean, there's just you can add emblems to your folders. You can even highlight them, as it shows. I'm showing it right now so cool. People can see. You can highlight it and add emblems so that at a quick glance, when you open up your file manager, you can actually see what that folder is and what it's about. And it even shows when it's in like your compact view. So that's really cool. Nice. And you can do accent colors. You can do whatever you want. And also what is really cool is the different plugins that you can actually put in. And I'll go to their site here if it'll open for them. Oh, it's not opening for them. Oh, yes, it is. There it is. Here's their plugins right here. You can do the Thunar archive plugins. You can do action plugins, media tag plugins, VCS plugins, wallpaper plugins, you know, thumbnailers. You know, you can create different types of thumbnailers for it and stuff like that. Volume management plugins. I mean, there's all kinds of different, and you can even report bugs through it too. They've even got a plugin for reporting bugs.
Nice. So a lot of these features that you're touching on are some of the reasons that I like Dolphin in KDE.
I was getting, you were getting ready. You went right where I was getting ready to go, man. So,
but you
go ahead.
So now Thunar, if I remember the first time I ever used Thunar, it was XFCE's file manager, right?
It is. Exactly. It is. And so being one of the longest running ones out there, to have all these plugins that most people don't know about and all these different things that you can do with it and how feature-rich it actually is, because they don't think it would be that way because it comes on a minimalist type desktop.
Right.
And so they don't realize how actually feature-rich it is. And it's because you have to turn those features on. You know what I'm saying? They just
right. It's really, right. Really stripped down and basic out
right.
of the box.
Whereas Dolphin comes fully feature compliant right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And right. so that's why people always want to think that Dolphin's better, this, that, and another. But in the reality of it is, Thunar is actually equitable to Dolphin in my mind's eye.
Hmm. You know, I wonder if I might like it on Budgie, since Budgie's my favorite, and I really don't want the bloat of like full blown Nautilus all the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm tempted to give it a shot.
Yeah, you could slim it down, trim it down, just add whatever you want on it. That's what I like about it. It's so flexible, man, and powerful. I mean, it's so it's my favorite, actually. Thunar is my favorite. And then I like also PC Man FM, which is similar to Thunar as well, but it's honestly, the reason why I don't like PC Man FM is because when you want to type, you know, to launch it, you have to type in that name. You know, PC Man FM, that's a really long name for a file manager. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. But, I mean, how do you launch your programs usually?
Oh, well, I'm an actual, you know, window manager guy. So all my stuff's through keyboard strokes.
Okay. Yeah. Because usually what I'll do is I'll just tap super key, start typing, and hit enter.
Yeah. From your run launcher. Yeah. I don't use run launchers. Well, I do use a run launcher if I type when I do use Rofi or.
Yeah. Benton was just going to ask about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. PC Man FM is awesome. He runs Lubuntu. Hey, we got new Ubuntu user.
Lubuntu. From LXDE.
LXDE, yep.
Are you doing LXDE or LXQT? I forget which of the two Lubuntu is running.
I think it's LXDE.
I think so too.
Yeah. But yeah, no, PC Man is another great one. I mean, then you got your terminal managers, you know, like Ranger and Midnight Commander, you know, that you could use, which are okay. Woohoo, he says. That's awesome. But yeah, no, I mean, yeah. Thunar, if you haven't played
with LXQT. Thunar,
yeah, LXQT. He love it, he says. Yeah, if you haven't played with it, man, definitely play with it. Try, you know, customizing it to your needs and stuff like that and just enjoy it. I mean, it's really a very, very, very powerful actual. And, it, you know, Samba works in it just great. You know,
oh, so that's good. You know, that's important.
Yeah. If you're using Samba shares, it works just great. You know, it goes over my network. No problem at all.
Oh, that's awesome. Question for you. One of the things that I like about Nautilus is the good integration with Google Apps, your Google Drive and stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you have plugins for that in Thunar that you're aware of?
I believe so.
Like Google Drive integration?
I believe so. But I also, but you know, I don't, for some reason, I've always been accustomed to using an app. And I actually use, and I could do a spotlight next week on it, on an app that we use that bridges my desktop to my Google Drive.
Oh, okay.
You know, I kind of like keeping that separate.
You don't want them to have like access into your file manager.
Exactly.
I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like keeping that separate. So I figured
after using Android for this long, I'm just like, screw it. They got me anyway.
Well, yeah, they don't have to have you completely.
Fair enough.
You know, I mean,
Thunar sounds great, man.
Yeah. Thunar's actually a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful file manager. Give it a try. Spin it up. So we got about another 15 more minutes left. So let's go ahead and talk about your this. What you're getting ready to talk about is probably going to be the showstopper for anybody who's a gamer or content creator. So.
Oh, man. So we're just going to touch on it. And then the full video will be coming out pretty soon, hopefully sometime before the middle of next week. Mm-hmm. So. Oh, Ham's back.
Yeah.
If we're mentioning Huawei, we got to mention ZTE. Oh boy, full circle right back.
Yeah, ZTE.
Telecoms. They used Huawei hardware for the back ends and it was ripped out completely in favor of Nokia, Siemens. Wow.
Yeah. Nokia. Oh, the old Nokia. Dude, those old Nokia phones were extremely durable phones, man.
You're talking about the old brick where we were doing the T9 texting and oh dude, it was, you could throw your phone at a wall and it would laugh at you.
I was just getting to tell you a story about my first wife on that and how I know how durable that hardware was, because I had a phone thrown at me like an 89 mile per hour fastball and I dodged it and it hit the window frame. Not the window.
Oh, and all the plastic would go everywhere, and you just put it back together, slap the battery in.
And we slapped it back together, and it worked. And I was mad because I was like, great, now I got to buy you a new phone because that'll be the next rant and rave you're complaining about. And so she just stopped. We put it back together, and it worked solidly. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, Nokia.
Borderline indestructible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so anyhow, back
man.
To your I'll let you announce it. Go ahead.
Oh, sure. I've played with Nobara for a while, and one of the things that I really, really liked about Nobara was, when I was learning about it, they got me into using the game capture plugin, and Windows has a game capture plugin for OBS too, but on Linux, it's called OBS-VK Capture. You can grab it from the AUR if you use Arch.
I have it I have their GitHub pulled up right now so they can see it.
Yep. And you can also grab it pre-installed and configured on Nobara. Glorious Eggroll included it as part of his souped-up OBS package.
Right.
And if you don't like Nobara but you want that vibe, you can use Pika OS, which I talked about at the beginning of the episode today, which is basically just Nobara rebased to Debian. And what OBS-VK Capture does is grabs your game frames from the frame buffer. It's kind of like, for my experience, it's like the OBS, not OBS, sorry, the NVFBC plugin for OBS that stopped working when we went from 27
to 28.
Because that's what I miss the most. And game capture is the closest that I can get to the frame rates and the low lag that I had when I was using FBC.
Just as a PSA, reading their GitHub down at the bottom, it says that the driver version for NVIDIA has got to be 5.15.43, and it needs to have the NVIDIA DRM mode set kernel parameter in it.
Right, so, you have to have kernel mode setting or it won't.
Yeah, and in Wayland it says make sure that Wayland is running on the Wayland and not X Wayland.
Right.
And no game capture source available in from OBS 27, so it's 28 and forward, like we were talking about.
Correct. And I'm gonna throw a little bit of information here. Like I said, my next full video for the channel in the next few days is gonna be a full rundown on how to compile this plugin if you're using an Ubuntu-based distro. Because anything except Arch or a pre-install requires that you actually download the source and compile the plugin yourself. So if you're on an Ubuntu base, you can use it. If you're on
Flatpak,
but Flatpak and the Nobara using game capture guide will actually go into this. If you are using Flatpak, there are additional things that you need to think about. You have to have the Flatpak plugin, and not everybody wants to run it in a container.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay.
So, my use case for the upcoming video is specifically X11 and Ubuntu based distro, because it's, I think it's going to be the most usable for the most people. So, because of this plugin, I'm able to run my Twitch streams as well as I did on Windows, and often better. It's really cool, and it doesn't support all games.
Right. But
it's,
what's
it's
nice,
using...
What's nice about it, too, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but
no, it's
my,
all
mind,
good.
My mind's eye, you know, my thought immediately goes to, if you are trying to start a gaming, you know, content creating channel, or even probably just a content creation channel of any kind, you can use this instead of having to buy a capture card, like you were talking, you know, like we've talked about, like Elgato's and... You know, $200 capture cards is that.
Right.
But what's what is the quality like? Have you...
The quality's pretty good. Now, keep in mind that my production machine, I wouldn't call it a potato, but it's, you know, we're definitely not running an RTX 3090 or anything like that.
Oh, come on. Better you don't have millions of dollars falling out of your pocket over there?
Bro, I use Linux. I don't want to pay for an OS. You think I'm out?
You're going to pay for a $500, $1,000 video card?
No, thank you. Oh, oh boy. So anyway, sorry.
Yeah, it's all good.
It is certainly usable, given the fact that I'm on a 1650 Ti on a laptop, and I'm able to stream 1080p 60 and nobody's complaining, and I'm not doing AAA titles, but I've done as recent as Street Fighter V.
Nice.
Which, you know, it's been good enough to have an enjoyable stream.
Nice. And so you might as well plug your channel.
That's okay. If you guys are into gaming, I stream on Twitch as Snack Ops Unit, and I do a variety of different games, usually retro platformers. I do fighters. I'm probably going to start playing maybe some RPGs or a little bit of shooters. And for most of the time I've had that channel, I've streamed from Linux. Not just streaming on Linux. Like, a lot of people are doing that now with a 2-PC setup. Mm-hmm. They'll have, like, a capture card or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they'll have a Windows PC running the game and then do the stream through a second PC on Linux.
You're doing completely on Linux, gaming on
all
Linux.
Correct.
You're
I'm streaming.
A real Linux user, not a fake Linux user.
Oh, I don't know about all that. Ham says some telecoms replaced Huawei with Alcatel, Lucent. I didn't like Alcatel.
Me neither. It was not all Nokia Siemens. Sorry.
Have you considered naming your channel The Gamer Tube? Absolutely not. You're trying to get me in hot water there.
Actually,
I think there's a Gamer Waffles, Tube channel already,
and he's my friend. Actually.
Let's not do that.
Yeah, he is the Gamer Tube. He's Sean 6000. What you find him at Sean 6000. He's the Gamer Tube. He's been busy doing he's been working too, like us. He's a newer guy that started up. But yeah, it's really funny, the quick story on that Gamer Tube.
Yeah.
He actually came to me and said, "Hey, I didn't realize that you had a Linux tube." And I'm like, "Yeah." And he says, and I actually started a channel called The Gamer Tube. And I'm like, he says, "I just started it. I don't have any real subscribers. I could change the name if it offends you." And I'm like, "What? Why? No, go
We're
ahead.
We're all here together."
Yeah. I said, "Maybe some of my subscribers will hit your channel because, you know, they mistyped
thing.
It. Yeah, you know, whatever. No, come on, man. No, and much love." So at any instance, you know, that's really funny that you said that.
But, you know, I'm really hoping, you know, I hope that more people start getting out there streaming on Linux systems and, you know, plug in that.
Yeah. And I think this VK Capture is going to be essential to that because it gives them a low to entry barrier point. You know what I mean? It's the right price. Free. You know what I'm saying? You just got to compile it or use one of the distributions, like you said, that they already have it already compiled, like Nobara, you know, right. Already in mm-hmm. there, you know, and just start using that. I mean, that's great.
It's definitely, I would say it's definitely going to be easier to do on an AMD setup because
Intel.
The support, right. Cause or no, not on Intel. I mean, graphics
NVIDIA.
Versus NVIDIA. Yeah. NVIDIA has a couple of hiccups with it. Mm-hmm. However, you know, even with the NVIDIA drivers being as annoying as they can be, I do not think that the AMD encoder has caught up to NVENC as far as, power with that, although I could be wrong. But,
no, it's still a work in progress there. But I did.
But for driver support and for Wayland,
right?
You know, AMD is easier. But there is one caveat, and I want to tell anybody who's thinking about streaming to Twitch or anything like that to watch out for a pitfall. If you are using Wayland, this is unrelated to the VK Capture. It's more OBS period.
Mm-hmm.
The custom browser dock that will let you have your stream chat in OBS relies on Chromium embedded framework, and that does not work on Wayland. It's broken.
Right. Right. And actually that is also, it's really funny because not only that, but even like in OBS, if you use a browser source, a lot of people are complaining that the Chromium framework that you're talking about is implemented isn't completely implemented, and they have, like, nowadays,
right, you get for all these connecting pop-ups, your accounts and stuff,
and also pop-up blocking and that kind of stuff is non-existent there. So you have to be careful with what you're putting in the browser source for your OBS if you're going to be using that and showing to your content, you know, to your
on your thing,
because you're going to get, you know, pop-ups for some male enhancement pills or something like that that could just pop up or whatever. So yeah, that that's a good PSA to put out there for this VK Capture stuff.
Yeah.
If it's going to use, you know, the actual browser sources as well, you know, capture those. That's just something to know about. So
yeah, upcoming video we'll go over how to compile it for Ubuntu based distros. And guys, that's a wrap for this week's episode.
Yeah. So, you know, I really looking forward to what's coming up, my review that I'm going to do, and then also the content that you're going to make for the channel. I'm looking forward to that.
What's your next distro you're going to review?
As I mentioned earlier in the podcast when we opened up, it's DTOS's DTOS. DT's.
There we go.
Yeah.
GG. Love it.
Yeah. And so I'm looking forward to doing that, because it's actually a, like I said, he's a friend. He's a very good friend of the channel and a supporter of the channel as well. And, you know, he's put together a pretty awesome distro there, man. I mean, it looks good. And I look forward to doing that review. But other than that, I will simply say this, man. Y'all keep doing what you do. Keep on Linuxing. Stay blessed. And above all, have a great day. And we'll catch you in the very next video. Bye.